Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Today, inshallah, we will have the class of the spiritual clinic, and we are, alhamdulillah, learning about the answered supplication. This is class number 6, and actually this is class number 2 regarding the answered accepted supplications of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. The title of the class today is A Call for Hope. Be confident, you are not going to be lost. Inshallah, today we will continue to learn about the answered supplications of Prophet Ibrahim. Last week we learned his supplication regarding the wisdom and the religious knowledge and the righteous judgment of the affairs. Also, he called on Allah to be joined with the righteous and to make him to have an honorable mention in late generations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered all these supplications of Prophet Ibrahim. We also learned that Prophet Ibrahim was the role model in his pure faith in the unity of Allah. He had a pure heart. He surrendered himself to his Lord totally. He was equal to a nation in his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, inshallah, we will move on the second episode related to Ibrahim's history. Actually, after Ibrahim confronted his father and his people regarding their belief in the idols, and he clarified to them that he believed only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he doesn't fear them or their idol, they decided to throw him in the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him from the fire, but at that moment Ibrahim decided to migrate, both mentally and physically. He was abandoning everything: his father, his family, his home, his people, and his land, leaving them all behind and going to his Lord free of all concerns. He thus surrendered himself to his Lord, assured that he would give him guidance and care, setting him on the right path. It is a migration from one state to another, abandoning all ties and bonds in favor of one bond that remains pure and strong. Ibrahim said in Surah As-Saffat, now we will read what Ibrahim said in Surah As-Saffat regarding his migration from his people and from their belief. In Surah As-Saffat, it's Surah number 37, verse number 100. It is verse number 99 in Surah number 37, Surah As-Saffat, where the Prophet Ibrahim said, وَقَالَ إِنِّي ذَاهِبٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And he said, after his rescue from the fire, verily, I am going to my Lord, he will guide me.
Until that moment, actually, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, when Ibrahim decided to migrate, he was without children. He had left behind his relations, his friends, all that was familiar to him. Needless to say, his relations with those who threw him in the fire suffered a final break. Therefore, he went to his Lord, praying to him to grant him a believing offspring. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now we will learn about the supplication of Prophet Ibrahim to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him a believing offspring, as he left all his people behind and he migrated to a new land where he was looking actually for a son to live with him, and he called on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His supplication is in the same surah number 37, verse number 100. That is to say, immediately after he said that I will go to my Lord, and I am sure that he will guide me immediately when he migrated physically and mentally to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Immediately he raised his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling him to grant him a believing son. But Prophet Ibrahim said, Rabbi habli min as-salihin.
My Lord, grant me offsprings from the righteous.
Actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered his supplication, and this answer is mentioned in the next verse, which is verse number 101 from surah number 37. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So we gave him the glad tiding of a forbearing boy.
Now, inshallah, we will learn the story of Prophet Ibrahim with his son, the forbearing boy. Actually, Ibrahim, alayhi salam, had a wife. His name is Sarah. Sarah was sterile. She has been given an Egyptian woman, Hajar, as a servant. Actually, Sarah decided to offer her husband Ibrahim, her servant Sarah, in marriage. Hajar, the servant, gave birth to Ismail when Ibrahim was 88 years old. Sarah became upset and jealous, and she asked Ibrahim to take Hajar and her son away. So one day Ibrahim woke up and he asked his wife Hajar to get her son and to prepare for a long journey. In few days Ibrahim started out with his wife Hajar and their son Ismail. The baby was still nursing, not yet weaned. Ibrahim walked through cultivated land, desert and mountains, until he reached the desert of the Arabian Peninsula, and he came to an uncultivated valley, having no fruits, no trees, no food, and no water. The valley had no sign of life. After Ibrahim had helped his wife and the baby to dismount, he left them with a small amount of food and water, which was hardly enough for 2 days. He turned around and walked away. His wife Hajar hurried after him, asking, "Where are you going, Ibrahim, leaving us in this barren valley?" Ibrahim didn't answer her, but continued walking. She repeated what she said, but he remained silent. Finally, she realized that Allah had commanded him to do so. She asked him, "Did Allah command you to do so?" He replied, "Yes." Then the great wife said, "We are not going to be lost, since Allah, who has commanded you, is with us." Ibrahim left, and when he was far enough away where they couldn't see him, he faced the house, the Kaaba, and he raised his hands and supplied his answered supplication. And now we will know about this answered supplication of Prophet Ibrahim regarding his wife and his baby whom he left in the dead desert. This supplication is mentioned in Surat Ibrahim, Surah number 14, verse number 37. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربنا إني أسكنت من ذريتي بواد غير ذي زرع واد غير ذي زرع عند بيتك المحرم ربنا ليقيموا الصلاة فاجعل أفئدة من الناس تهوي إليهم وارزقهم من الثمرات لعلهم يشكرون.
O our Lord, I have made some of my offspring to dwell in an uncultivated valley by your sacred house, the Kaaba, at Mecca, in order, O our Lord, that they may perform as-salat. So fill some hearts among men with love towards them, and, O Allah, provide them with fruits so that they may give thanks.
In this supplication, Prophet Ibrahim called on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to to fill some hearts among men with the love towards Hajar and her son, whom they left alone in the dead desert, and also he called on Allah to provide them with the fruits. Actually, we will learn the answer of this supplication from the rest of the story. Ibn Abbas narration continues. Ismail, the baby, actually, the mother went on suckling him and drinking from the water. She was drinking from the water which she had so that she can have milk in her breast and she can give breastfeeding to the baby until the water in the water skin had been used up. She and the baby became thirsty. She left the baby as she couldn't endure looking at him crying and very thirsty. She found that the mountain of As-Safa was the nearest mountain to her. So she stood on it and started looking at the valley, so keen that she might see somebody, but she couldn't see anybody. Then she descended from As-Safa and started running in the valley till she reached the mountain of Al-Marwa. There again she stood up and started looking, expecting to see somebody, but she couldn't see anybody. She repeated that running between the mountain of As-Safa and the mountain of Al-Marwa 7 times. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is the source of the tradition of the sa'i, the rituals of Al-Hajj pilgrimage. Okay, let us continue the story. When Hajar reached the Marwa for the last time, the 7th time, she heard a voice, and she asked herself to be quiet and listened with attention. She heard the voice again, and she said, "Oh, whoever you may be, you have made me hear your voice. Have you got something to help me?" And behold, she found the angel at the place of Zamzam, the angel Jibril, digging the earth till water flowed from the place. She started filling her water skin with water, so she drank and suckled her baby. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid of being neglected, for this is the house of Allah, which will be built by this boy and his father, and Allah never neglects his people." She lived in that way until some people from the tribe of Jurham passed by her and her child and landed in the lower part of Mecca, where they saw a bird that had the habit of flying around water and not leaving it. The people of Jurham said, "This bird must be flying around water. As we know, there is no water in this valley. Let us send one or two messengers to discover the source of water." Those two messengers, they returned to inform them of the water. So the tribe of Jurham, they came towards the water where Ismail's mother was sitting nearby. They asked her, "Do you allow us to stay with you?" She replied, "Yes." So they settled there and they brought their families and they became permanent residents there. Actually, this is the answer for the supplication of Prophet Ibrahim when he called on Allah to fill some hearts of the people with the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Let me use the same words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called, Prophet Ibrahim called on Allah to fill some hearts among men with love towards them. This actually happened as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the people of the tribe of Jurham to settle and to live with Hajar and her son Ibrahim, and they become permanent residents there. Still, there was another supplication for Prophet Ibrahim, which is to provide them with the fruits. The answer of this supplication is mentioned in Surah Al-Qasas, Surah number 28, verse number 57, so that we have the proof for the answer of all the supplication of Prophet Ibrahim regarding his son and his wife. Now we will recite from Surah Al-Qasas, Surah number 28, verse number 57. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أولم نمكن لهم حرما آمنا يجبى إليه ثمرات كل شيء رزقا من لدنا ولكن أكثرهم لا يعلمون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Have we not established for them a secure sanctuary to which are brought fruits to all, of all kinds, a provision from ourselves, but most of them know not?
Actually, this is Mecca, the sacred town. You can find there all kinds of fruit at any time of the year, an answer to Prophet Ibrahim's supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His answer is still, his supplication is still answered up till now, and it will be answered until the day of judgment. When you go to Mecca at any time, you can find the fruits of all the years. In winter, you find the fruits of the summer. In summer, you find the fruits of the winter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making the people to bring all kinds of fruits to Mecca all the year. This is the answer of the supplication of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Let us now continue the rest of the story of Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Ismail, his son, whom Allah called him the forbearing, so that we know the details of the answer supplication, my Lord, grant me a righteous son. Actually, Ismail lived with his mother Hajar in Mecca with the people of Jerham. As for Ibrahim, he was living with his wife in Asham in Syria. Ibrahim used to go every so often to check on his son and his mother Hajar. On one of the visits, when Ismail grew up and started to go with his father and walk with him, on that visit a great event happened which serves as a symbol of the true faith and submission to Allah's will with full and perfect acceptance and reassurance. Actually, an event which is the proof of the reality of the belief of Prophet Ibrahim and his forbearing son Ismail, whom Allah mentioned him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about him that he is the one to fulfill the promise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in Surah Maryam, Surah number 19, verse number 54, Allah said in Surah Maryam that Prophet Ismail is the one who fulfilled his promises. So this is the second actually character of Prophet Ismail. Number one, he is the forbearing. Number two, he is the one who fulfilled his promises. All this will be clarified in the rest of the story. Now we will recite from Surah Maryam, Surah number 19, verse number 54, to know about Prophet Ismail, the one who is fulfilling his promises. Allah said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, waskur fil kitabi Ismail, innahu kana sadiq al-wa'd, wa kana rasulan nabiyya. ويأمر أهله بالصلاة والزكاة وكان عند ربه مرضيا. We will recite verse number 45 and 55 to know more about the characters of Prophet Ismail, which will be clarified in the rest of the story, inshallah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And mention in the book, the Quran, Ishmael. Verily he was true to what he promised, and he was a messenger and a prophet, and he used to enjoin on his family and his people as-salat, the prayers, and the zakat, and his Lord was pleased with him.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to us some of the characters of Prophet Ismail, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that he was true to what he promised. Insha'Allah, now we will learn from the rest of the story of Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Ismail, these characters of Prophet Ismail, and insha'Allah we will learn the lessons in our worldly life from all this story, insha'Allah. So now let us know about the event which happened on that visit when Prophet Ibrahim visited Prophet Ismail and his mother, while Prophet Ismail was already grown up and he can walk with his father. In order to know about that great event, which actually has its effect in our life and it will be effective until the Day of Judgment, we will know about that event, great event from Surah As-Saffat. We will read from verse number 100 to verse number 107. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So we will read about that story from the start. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Prophet Ibrahim said, رب هب لي من الصالحين فبشرناه بغلام حليم فلما بلغ معه السعي قال يا بني إني أرى في المنام أني أذبحك فانظر ماذا ترى قال يا أبت افعل ما تؤمر ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين فلما أسلم وتله للجبين وناديناه أن يا إبراهيم قد صدقت الرؤيا إنا كذلك نجزي المحسنين إن هذا لهو البلاء المبين وفديناه بذبح عظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. My Lord, grant me offspring from the righteous. So we gave him the glad tidings of a forbearing boy. And when he, his son, was old enough to walk with him, he said, O my son, I have seen in a dream that I am slaughtering you, offering you in a sacrifice to Allah. So look what you think, he said. O my father, do what you wish, do that which you are commanded, inshallah, if Allah wills, you shall find me of As-Sabirun, the patient. Then when they had both submitted themselves to the will of Allah, and he had laid him prostrate on his forehead, we called out to him, O Ibrahim, you have fulfilled the dream. Verily, thus do we reward the mushninun, good doers. Verily, that indeed was a manifest trial, and we ransomed him with a great sacrifice, a ram.
So actually, the meaning of these verses is that on that visit it was that Ibrahim said to his son Ismail that he saw a dream that he is slaughtering him. And he said to him, my son, look what you think. The young boy, the forbearing, answered calmly and politely and in total obedience to Allah and to his father. Actually, as Ismail believed that this dream is a command from Allah, so he said to his father to do that which he was commanded. That forbearing son wants to reassure his father that he will accept the slaughtering in a patient way. So when both of them had pronounced the Shahada and remembered Allah, Ibrahim because he was about to offer a sacrifice and Ismail because he was about to die. So both of them submitted themselves to Allah and Ibrahim had laid Ismail with his face down to slaughter him. At this stage, Ibrahim and Ismail have done all that is required of them. All that remained was the actual shedding of Ismail's blood and his death. At this moment, Ibrahim was called by Allah that you have fulfilled the dream. Thus Allah ransomed this young man who had submitted himself to Allah's will by a great and noble sacrifice. It is reported that the sacrifice was a ram which Ibrahim found ready by Allah's will and that he sacrificed this ram in place of Ismail. That is to say, he slaughtered the ram. Today, inshallah, I will stop here regarding the story and the answered supplications of Prophet Ibrahim. These two answered supplications. In order to learn the great lessons from this supplication and from this pious family, Ibrahim, Hajar, and their son Ismail, so that we can realize that life is created, owned, ruled and controlled only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So having pure faith in Allah's unity is the only way for the peaceful, happy life in this life and the way to the paradise. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So inshallah now, my brothers and sisters, you know, whom you are listening and attending, actually we need always, when we learn the stories of the Quran or the supplications of the Quran, we need to get the benefit of this knowledge in our worldly life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Quran for us to be the cure and the heal for our life. So inshallah now we will reflect on these two supplications and on the story related to them, so that inshallah they will give us a very important message in our life, which every one of us is in need of. We will start with Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. We must know that Ibrahim alayhi salam was an old man, 88 years old. Actually, try to reflect on a man who is 88 years old. You know, not 86, not 87, but 88 years old. That is to say, the man around to be having 90 years old. That man, he left all his people, all his friends, and even his land. And he migrated with his wife to a foreign land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him a baby. The baby whom that father was calling Allah for him, because he was looking for a follower in his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a clarification that Ismail was a very precious baby to that very old lonely man, the true believer in Allah who was looking for a follower. On having that precious baby at that old age, and also after having the hardship of being thrown in the fire, actually it was for Prophet Ibrahim that he will enjoy the company of that baby, and he will prepare him to be his follower inshallah in his belief in Allah. But again and again, none of us knows the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding his decree to every one of us. None of us knows that it is always the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which is behind the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have to test Ibrahim twice with that son, and every time actually it was a great test, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his own wisdom regarding that test. The first test which Prophet Ibrahim faced regarding his son was that when his wife Sarah asked him to take the son and his mother Hajar away from her, Prophet Ibrahim actually was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take them to the desert at the place where the Kaaba will be built. But as a father who has that precious baby whom he was looking to live with him the rest of his short life which is left for him, that father was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to leave that baby and his mother in the barren valley, in a place where there is no life. Actually, this is a very hard test for a father, because when the father is commanded, a father who is a true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a father who is having a pure heart and who is having the true feelings regarding his son and his wife, that father was commanded to leave that precious baby and their mother alone with water and food only for 2 days. So actually it was the only possibility that they will die soon in that place, because there is water and food only for 2 days, and there is nobody, no water, no tree, nothing in that dead desert. And also, he will not stay with them. He was commanded to leave them. So actually, every one of us must reflect on that test which Prophet Ibrahim faced at that moment when he said, when his wife Hajar was calling on him, how you will leave us in that place? Where are you going? Why you are leaving us? Actually, every one of us must get this difficult feeling. He can't answer her, and he just has to obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to keep walking alone away from them, leaving them to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually, it was the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reassure Prophet Ibrahim that he made them to make that, to make that supplication to Allah. Oh Allah, I left them, you know, in that barren valley, so make the hearts of the people to love them and make the fruits to be for them there. So this was the great test to Prophet Ibrahim regarding his son Ismail and his wife. Actually, he left them in a place where death is closer to them than life, according to the evaluation of any human being. But it is the belief in the total submission to Allah's commands. To Ibrahim, none of these questions regarding why, what is the purpose of all of this, hard experience which Hajar will face and her son Ibrahim? What is the wisdom behind all this difficult time which Ibrahim, Hajar and Ibrahim are facing? None of these questions came to the mind of Prophet Ibrahim. None of them were of value. To Ibrahim, the question was one of obedience. Since his Lord wants something, so be it without hesitation. So, you know, sisters, let every one of us try for few minutes, okay, just to think it over and to live that situation of Prophet Ibrahim, the very old man living in the dead desert, his beloved, actually precious baby, and his poor, lonely wife alone in the desert, leaving them only to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, returning back alone and calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the first test which Prophet Ibrahim faced regarding his son, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his mercy and his knowledge, he made an outlet for Hajar and for Ibrahim and for Ismail, and Ibrahim succeeded the test, and he proved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the top of the priorities, and that his submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above all any values in his life. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made another test to Prophet Ibrahim regarding his son Ismail. When Ismail turned out to be a model son, and actually his father enjoyed his company and he was happy to have him as an assistant and follower in Allah's belief, on that visit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Ibrahim to see that dream that he is slaughtering that righteous son. Actually, there is a very point I need to clarify before mentioning that the second test of Prophet Ibrahim regarding Ismail. We must believe that prophets are always very soft-hearted, because believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always makes the heart to live the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the heart lives and feels the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it becomes a very soft heart which is affected by any pain or by any problem which others are facing. It is the heart which is always looking to help all the people and to support all the people. So Prophet Ibrahim was having that heart, that very pure, soft heart, and he was facing that test that he is leaving his wife and his son only to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save them, because this was more closer to them than life. So we must evaluate that test from the point of where the heart of Prophet Ibrahim was, what kind of heart Prophet Ibrahim has. This very soft heart was tested with that great test. And again, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was testing him with the more difficult test, which is to slaughter the righteous son, Ibrahim was required to slaughter the only son whom he had at the age of 88, to slaughter him by his hand, a task which looks impossible to human being. And actually, let every one of us try to reflect on that fact. Can any one of us at the age of 88, you see, having only one son, okay, a forbearing son, a very polite son, a very good son, and to slaughter him by your own hand, not to send him away, you know, to someone to kill him, or not to, you know, to forget about him, maybe he will be killed by an accident. No, to slaughter him with your hand, to have his head down, and to have the knife, and to slaughter him. This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Prophet Ibrahim. So let us evaluate how that experience is extremely actually difficult, even to try to realize it mentally. You know, how come that, you know, a father can do this for his, you know, righteous son? But again, Prophet Ibrahim, the true believer, this is why sister Prophet Ibrahim was the role model on the earth for the belief in the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was the father of all the prophets, and he is the one to be rewarded, a reward equal to a nation on the day of judgment, because of the depth of the true belief in Allah, and because of this intention for full submission to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irrespective of what is of the nature of the command. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proving in the Quran about the nature of the belief of Prophet Ibrahim and the depth of that belief in the form of these repeated, you know, difficult hardship which Ibrahim was facing. He was thrown in the fire. Then he was asked to leave his son, the only son, in the dead desert alone with his mother, with no food and with no water and with no people. Again, he is commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to slaughter him by his hand. Actually, Prophet Ibrahim, the true believer, accepted Allah's command with all the obedience, subhanallah. And he did all that was required for him. He and his son submitted themselves and carried out the order. Again, he fulfilled all he needed to fulfill to Allah. This is Prophet Ibrahim. This is what we are supposed to learn as true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believing that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not test us with this difficult hardship, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly the degree of our belief. We can't be believers like Prophet Ibrahim. So Allah will not test us with this very difficult hardship. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us according to our belief. So let us follow Prophet Ibrahim in his obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we will have the same reward which Allah was sending to Prophet Ibrahim after every hardship. Okay, Prophet Ibrahim, in that hardship, he fulfilled all he needed to fulfill to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants nothing from his servants other than that. This is the lesson of the story of the accepted supplications of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants nothing from his servants other than that they submit themselves to Allah. And when they will submit themselves to Allah, Allah immediately will reward that submission and will give them the reward they deserve. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, when Prophet Ibrahim was about to slaughter his son, Allah called on him, "You Ibrahim, you fulfilled, you know, the promise." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the سبحانه وتعالى made ram to be a sacrifice instead of Prophet Ismail, and Allah سبحانه وتعالى rewarded Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Ismail for their sacrifice. And we will learn inshallah next class that they will be the one to build Al-Kaaba, Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Ismail. So inshallah we all need to know this fact. Allah doesn't wish to overburden us with the test or to put us in hardship. This fact must be clear to the spirit of every believer. When every one of us is facing hardship, having difficulties, not happy with what is going on around, we must believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't wish to put us in hardship. All Allah needs is that we Muslims must be ready to obey all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in full obedience. You know, this is the wisdom behind the hardships of the worldly life. For us Muslims to prove our reality, we are obedient to Allah's commands or not. This is the goal of all the hardship. We Muslims must realize this fact so that we can succeed the test of the worldly life. We can face every hardship with full trust that if I obey the commands of Allah in this hardship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save me, I will succeed, and I will have the reward of the hardship, and everything will be inshallah in the best shape. I have the proof from the story of Prophet Ibrahim, from his answered supplications when he was thrown in the fire, when he left his son in the desert, when he was about to slaughter his son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Prophet Ibrahim proved the obedience and submission to Allah, Allah saved him from all these great disasters, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded him all the good reward in the worldly life. Allah will made him to build the Kaaba inshallah, and to have another son at the age of 100, and to be the father of all the prophets, and to have the reward of all those believers until the day of judgment. We all must be sure that when you will obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once you prove your obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be no need for pain or sacrifice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will consider you that you fulfilled your duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you and honor you as Allah honored Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is regarding Prophet Ibrahim, the first member of that pious family. Now we will know about his wife Hajar, and we will know also about her belief and about actually her alhamdulillah obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in her difficult test also in that story. To know about Hajar, Hajar was a mother of a baby whom his father was an old man. That old man took her and the baby, who was still nursing and not yet weaned. Ibrahim took them to the desert, to an uncultivated valley, having no fruits, no trees, no food, no water, no people, nothing, just dead desert, where she was left alone with her baby, having no food or water, just for a few days. Suddenly, her husband decided to leave them. What an unexpected disaster. Let us leave the feeling of Hajar, so that inshallah we get the benefit of that lesson from the Quran. Actually, she was facing an unexpected disaster. Why? How? Where? All these questions come to her mind in that great hardship. This means that Ibrahim will leave them to die out of hunger and thirsty. So when Ibrahim alayhi salam turned around to walk away, she, out of all of the above feelings, hurried after him, asking, "Where are you going, Ibrahim, leaving us a mother and a baby in this barren valley?" But Ibrahim didn't answer her. He continued walking away. This poor, helpless, worried, lonely, shocked mother repeated her concern about his attitude, which she had no explanation for her. Finally, it was Allah's mercy to calm her down and to calm her feeling and to direct her mind to the truth. So she asked him, "Did Allah command you to do so?" At this point, actually, he said yes, as this is to her the only accepted explanation for the behavior of the righteous believer Ibrahim. This is the answer. Yes, that answer, Hajar, the believer, in reality was looking for it. This is the hope. This is the... So actually, Allah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, let me know that we Muslims must have the full trust in Allah's mercy. We must have the hope, the reassurance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always actually save those whom they obey His commands. And actually, regarding our husbands, Hajar obeyed Ibrahim when he turned away to leave her and her son, not replying to her question about the reason for that action. She kept silent, and she just tried to get the reassurance when she asked him, "This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And when he said to her yes, she felt the relief and she said to him her known statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not, and that Allah will not make her to. So again, actually, sisters, every one of us as wives must actually try to reflect on that attitude of Hajar alayha salam, as Sayyida Hajar alayha salam, whom she was patient and calm when she actually noticed that her husband is leaving her and her son in the desert and actually moving away alone. If we try to think it over regarding our attitude now, I don't think that any of us can have the same patience and the same belief and the same calmness and the same assurance that Sayyida Hajar had at that time, and that it will be extremely difficult for any wife to leave her husband, to leave her and her son in the desert with having water and food only for 2 days, and just to turn away, not answering her call about the reasons for this great hardship. But again and again, we must learn the lesson. We must learn the lesson that whenever you obey the commands of Allah, not the commands of your husband, this is the reality of the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sister, this is what every one of us must remember in every moment in the life. When I am obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When my husband commands me to do something which I don't like or I don't understand or doesn't have any explanation for me, and that command is related to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I must obey Allah. I must get my husband out of the equation, because I am a true believer in the unity of Allah. Being a true believer makes me to live the marriage as an act of worship, an act of worship to Allah and not to my husband. And so long it is an act of worship to Allah, so I am commanded to obey the commands of Allah and to be the devoutly obedient wife to my husband, because I am obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Living this reality in our life as Muslim wives will make us to have the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and always and also will make us to have our belief more strong in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the more you face hardship regarding the commands of your husband when they are related to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you obey your husband because you are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be sure that Allah will reward you soon, and Allah will reward you to the extent which you don't know and you don't believe. So for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for every wife, try always to have Allah between you and your husband. Try always to obey Allah in all the commands which your husband is conveying to you, Get your husband out of the equation. Always look for the obedience and submission to Allah, having the full reassurance, the full hope, the full trust that Allah is the one who will reward you and Allah is the one who is always taking care of you. This will help you to be an obedient, devoutly obedient wife to your husband. This will make you an obedient believer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will make you to live the obedience and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in reality, in the worldly life, with full ease and very simply, because I always feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every command which my husband is giving me relating to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, let us learn from Sayyida Hajar that regarding our children, when the food and the water finished, Hajar didn't sit, not doing anything. Hajar started to run in the valley alone, in that great valley, the dead valley. She was not afraid about herself, but the concern about the baby, the concern about the trust of the baby was the one moving her to run and to raise that mountain, and to run again to raise that mountain, to run for 7 times between the mountain of As-Safa and the mountain of Al-Marwa. Actually, a mother, a woman alone in a desert with a baby crying, running, trying to seek the help, to look for someone. This is actually the reality of the feeling of the mother regarding the trust of the children. She didn't say to herself, my husband left, the father left, so this is none of my business, what can I do? I will cry now until Allah will make anything. And she just sat beside the baby crying, telling to Allah, oh Allah, what can I do? This is the problem and this is the mistake of Ibrahim. So, oh Allah, punish Ibrahim for his mistake, and now I am helpless, I can't do anything. Hajar didn't think that negative way. Hajar was a true believer in Allah, that so long she will obey the command of Allah and she will stay alone in the dead desert with the baby, she was sure that the outlet is there, the help is there, and she was running away not to see the baby crying, and also seeking for the help and the hope which she was sure that it is around. This is a lesson for every mother. Try to fulfill your trust, your children. If your husband is not fulfilling his duty or his trust to the children or to you, this is none of your business, because Allah is the one who will judge every one of us on the day of judgment. In this life, we are we are created to obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every one of us will be judged for his or her own deeds. My husband is not caring for his trust, okay, regarding me or regarding my kids. This will not give me the excuse on the day of judgment to tell to Allah, oh Allah, I am also not caring because he is not caring. This is wrong, and this is not the attitude of the true believers. You are a true believer. We are a true believer in Allah. Your kids are a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must fulfill your duties to the trust in the best shape regarding of what your husband is doing, how your kids are reacting to you. This is not in the scale. In the scale is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the trust, the fulfillment of the trust to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to my kids, not to my husband, not to anyone. I am living my life as a true believer. My life is an act of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have trust in my life to obey my husband for the sake of Allah, to take care of my kids for the sake of Allah. Hajar kept on running and running, trying to find any outlet for the sake of her trust, Ismail, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded her the water of Zamzam and the people to live with her, because this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again and again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of to put us in the hardship, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs that we prove our obedience to his commands. Now we will learn about the son Ismail, how he is also the as a role model of the obedient for bearing son to his father and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now inshallah we will know about regarding Ismail, actually the son in this pious family. When actually Prophet Ibrahim the father said to Ismail his son that he had a dream that he is slaughtering him, Ismail replied, "My father." He said, "My father," this is actually, that is to say, the prospect of his death does not cause him to be panic or to forget the manners and love of his father. He didn't tell actually to him, "What are you saying? Can you imagine? What are you saying? Huh? What is going on, Dad? Dad?" He said, "My father," or what are you saying, Ibrahim?" As most of the kids now call their parents with their name. You know, not saying "my father." He start replying saying, "My father, do that which you have commanded." Try to imagine your son or your daughter when you tell her, "My daughter, I saw a dream that I am slaughtering you. I am sure that my daughter will tell me it is a wrong dream. My mother, forget it." That's it. Yes. Or this is still a polite reply. Other kids will tell to their parents or to their father, "Okay, who said that I saw the dream, I am slaughtering you? Okay, my father, go and slaughter yourself." Yes, no problem. Why you want to slaughter me? You want to be an obedient servant to Allah? Okay, slaughter yourself. Don't slaughter me. You are very selfish, father. I am very sorry. I am very upset with you. You have to apologize for me for that statement. Yes, but Prophet Ismail alayhi salam, he said to his father, whom we know about his character, the forbearing, the patient, okay, the one who is fulfilling his promises, he said to his father, "Do that which you have commanded, daughter. Submission to Allah's command and acceptance and belief in the obedience of Allah," and also he was obedient to his father. Again, Ismail the forbearing clarified his limited ability in the face of this great hardship. So he seeked his Lord's help to overcome his weakness. He attributed to Allah the mercy of helping him to obey and make the sacrifice. As he said, "Allah's willing, you will find me to be patient in a adversity." He didn't say, "I will be patient because I am a very good son." He said, "Allah's willing." Okay, that is with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, he does not give himself any credit in the matter. He simply attributes it all to Allah. This is an example of the perfect humility before Allah, trust in Him, combined with complete obedience and submission to His will. Ibrahim appreciated the pleasure of obeying Allah's orders. Let us appreciate that forbearing, true believer, obedient, well-mannered son who accepted sacrificing his life for the sake of Allah's command. Let us realize that this is Allah's reward to the Prophet Ibrahim, the role model of pure faith, the believer who sacrificed his family, his land, his only son for the sake of total submission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded Ibrahim with that great reward. Ismail, the forbearing son. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding the righteous people in life. Allah is rewarding them with righteous, pious children whom they obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They obey the commands of their parents. They are true believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are in reality a blessing in the worldly life. So when Prophet Ibrahim called on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him a righteous son, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered his supplication. And Allah proved for us in that story that Ismail was in reality the forbearing, the righteous son who was willing to sacrifice his life in order to obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the command of his father. Let every one of us do that dua and follow that supplication of Prophet Ibrahim, that Allah to grant us the righteous children and to grant us the forbearing children, so that inshallah they will be a blessing in our life, in this worldly life and in the hereafter. And inshallah next week we will continue the story of Prophet Ismail and Prophet Ibrahim, the father and the forbearing obeying son, with their answered supplications to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next week inshallah we will learn the answered supplications of Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Ismail inshallah. And let us now make the dua. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Oh Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. Amen. Oh Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. Amen. Oh Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our hearts firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. Oh Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. Oh Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. Oh Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. Oh Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. Oh Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. Oh Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. Oh Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. Oh Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. Oh Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after this. Oh Allah, our Lord, truly we have wronged ourselves and none can forgive sins except you. Oh Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husband and our offspring comfort to our eyes. Oh Allah, our Lord, we ask you to forgive our parents and all the Muslims. Oh Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favor upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day.